Good morning, good morning. That is our signal to begin. Welcome to Coffee with the Coder, episode 31. We're delighted that you've joined us today on President's Day to hear this episode. And we're looking forward to mugging someone at the end, giving out an official Coffee with the Coder mug to one of those who have asked an anonymous question. You're certainly welcome to ask them anonymously if that fits best with your situation. It's just that to be in the running for the mug, we have to know who you are. So you can hop over to aq-iq.com or any of our other Facebook, LinkedIn, or our other websites and find the link to submit your question. We're happy to see those coming in. And good morning, Heather.
Good morning, everybody.
I am excited to get started. So let me go ahead and talk to you the first question. Okay, this one comes from a PPS hospital in Georgia, and it's from Ida. She says a patient started out in ob status and had a condition, say, for example, hyponatremia, and it was corrected by the time the patient was admitted to in-house status a few days later. Could you code the hyponatremia, and would it be TOA?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. It would be reported, and it would be present on admission. ICD-10 guidelines for principal diagnosis tell us that when a patient is admitted to an observation unit for a medical condition, which it either worsens or does not improve, and then they're subsequently admitted as an inpatient of the same hospital for the same medical condition, the principal diagnosis would be the medical condition which led to the hospital admission. Therefore, it's logical that if that condition was secondary to the primary condition and it still existed, it would be reported and it would be considered present on admission. And in this case, you're indicating that the condition existed in observation and it resolved prior to admission. But because our inpatient and our observation is rolled into one visit on a claim form, one inpatient claim form, it would be billed as inpatient. And because we're billing it as inpatient, the three-day rule would apply here. And the three-day rule, for those of you who are unfamiliar with it, requires that all diagnostic or outpatient services rendered during the DRG payment window, that's the day of and the three calendar days prior to the inpatient admission, all of those would be bundled into one inpatient service for Medicare billing. So based on that rule, I believe you would report that condition and it would be present on admission.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to go all the way across the country to Arizona, and Ron is in an inpatient rehab, and he sent a screenshot of an IRF pie. The patient has multiple pelvic fractures with clavicular fracture. So the clavicular fracture did impact the rehab per the OT note, and I believe it should have been an IGC, he says, of 8.4, but it might have been 8.23. What do you say?
All right, so because the patient has multiple pelvic fractures, in this case, I would go with IGC 8.3 for status post-pelvic fracture. While there are multiple fractures, generally speaking, we're going to only use that 8.4, which is the multiple fracture IGC, when we're dealing with weight-bearing bones or long bones. Now, that's not to say that multiple fracture IGC can't be used when non-weight-bearing bones are fractured, but in this case, I think you're going to use that pelvic fracture IGC.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Now we're going to move back halfway over to where we are. This one comes from Texas, and it's from Taylor. Taylor is in an IRF and says, I have a chart from 2016 that was audited in front of me, which is prompting some of these questions. On the example of coding errors, it says, seventh character for fracture is reported incorrectly on IRF pi and UBM4. The ICD that was coded for both is S52.501A, unspecified fracture of the lower end of the right radius, initial encounter for closed fracture. So if it was wrong on both IRF pi and ULB, then my source, which is telling me they're supposed to be different, is wrong. Am I right?
Well, first you need to know whether or not the fracture that you reported was reported as the etiologic or the principal or as a comorbidity. If the fracture is new and it's the reason for admission on the IRF pie, it's going to be our etiologic, and our seventh character is going to be A. On the UB, it's going to be a different story, though. On the UB, for the same patient, that active treatment was the initial encounter care, and that encounter was where the fracture was originally treated, so that's the acute care. And now the patient is back in rehab and they're continuing healing. So UB coding directs the principal diagnosis for the UB in a case like this to end with D to support the treatment for aftercare. So your etiologic on your IRF pie would end in A, and on the UB, your principal would end in D. Now, if the condition is a comorbidity, it's going to be a different story. If the condition is listed on the UB or the IRF pie as a comorbidity, it's going to end in a D, unless there's some situation supported where we might use one of the other character options we have for fractures, and there are multiple character, seven character options. Also, if the injury or the fracture happened while the patient was in inpatient rehab on the floor, we would use the seventh character A because it's a new fracture.
Thank you. There seems to be a lot of confusion about that seventh character.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of nationwide, I think. There's a lot of fogginess surrounding that particular topic.
Yes. Well, perhaps we'll get a little more clarity as we go on. And I love the way you explained it because you bring a lot of clarity to that, too. So do we have time for one more?
I think so.
Okay. Well, let me give you another one because Taylor had more than one. the same Taylor. Can I code for respiratory failure and NSTEMI on a patient who was admitted with anoxic brain injury February 2nd with these diagnoses? Or does it need to say history of or status post or something like that?
Okay. For the respiratory failure, you can only code that if it's still existing as a comorbidity. So it would still need to be treated or impacting treatment. Or if it was the reason for admission, meaning it was the etiologic, even if it was not still existing, it could be reported. For the NSTEMI, we would report that because we need to remember what our ICD-10 rules tell us. And they say that for encounters occurring while the myocardial infarction is equal to or less than 4 weeks, including transfers to another acute setting or a post-acute setting, codes from category I-21 would continue to be reported. And then for encounters after that 4-week time frame and the patient still receiving care related to that MI, the appropriate aftercare code would be assigned rather than the code from the category I-21. So in this case, we would report that NSTEMI.
Thank you, Heather. Wow, I'm excited. I've got four names here that I'm stirring about ever since you started answering that last question. So we are just about to wrap up episode 31, and let's find out who's going to get the mug today. So the winner is Taylor in Texas. Congratulations, Taylor. I'll be reaching out to you about where to send this. I'm thankful that you all have joined us today, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again from episode 32, which will begin at 10:10 a.m. on March the 5th. This one will be posted on the website this afternoon, so in case your friends didn't get to turn it to dial in, perhaps they'd like to watch it or listen to it. Sorry, it's not watching. On the rebroadcast. Thank you.